You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And as it's a Wednesday, as always, I speak to Scott Clough, Portfolio Manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak Division in Cape Town, gripped by political speculation, I would have thought, in the Western Cape, probably different to Gauteng. How have you found the mood?
Lindsay, I mean, it's sort of strange. I mean, we had a meeting this morning, and in the meeting, they asked me the same question. And I was like, well, it's sort of sweet and sour. I'm not talking about, sweet-wise, I'm not talking about Fed and inflation and when will interest rates be declining and will recessions be happening, to gold or not to gold. I mean, suddenly I've got a whole new, conversation. I'm becoming, a bit of a sort of a couch political analyst. And I'm making a lighthearted joke about it, but I mean, there's a clear, let's call it just a bit of a worry. I wouldn't say there's a panic. There's no panic in South Africa currently. The political parties will do what political parties now do. They'll get together. They'll try and get the best position for their party, and then they'll come back and we'll deal with it, from a business point of view.
I, on the other hand, am normally pessimistic, but have become a sort of closet, quiet optimist. Don't tell anyone, but I have.
I won't.
I know. No one's listening, so it doesn't matter. Then, I was watching a political analyst overseas, and they were talking about coalitions, but in different countries. It wasn't a South Africa-specific story. And they said often the coalition is very, very good, because if you've got one party there, then it's one party's way, and that's all. But if you bring in a coalition, there's other views being thrown around the forum, the table, and also it takes the pressure off the leader of the party that has been forced into a coalition. I reckon if I was Cyril Ramaphosa, I'd be saying, thank goodness, as long as I choose the right partner, this is going to be good. This could be a platform for South Africa. And as I say, I'm a little bit optimistic.
I share your optimism. I mean, I've said it. I mean, before we went into this election, I listened to a few political analysts and people that presented. And most of the, let's call it, forecast were around the fact that, if, let's say, the ANC in this case get close to the 40% election nationally, that's sort of a very bad thing, because that'll force certain things into South Africa. Now, I see it as a fairly healthy scenario. It's like you just said. I mean, we had the NHI bill a few weeks ago, and if you agree with it or disagree, it doesn't matter. I mean, it was a rubber stamp. When we started, let's put it through, we're going to vote for it, there we go, it's just put through. Now suddenly things change somewhat, and we'll see how it's going to change. That I don't know. I mean, it is anybody's guess, but I agree with you. This is healthy. We've got another 5 years, and I think this whole new setup will be judged. I think the one thing that this election has taught us is don't rest in your laurels. I mean, you think you're on top. Boy, oh boy, did the country suddenly just turn around. I mean, some parties really were looking really healthy 5, 10 years ago. I'm talking about the EFF. I'm not saying they're not healthy anymore, but I mean, so much more was expected. Where did they come through? I mean, the MK.
Well, it was diluted by MK, yeah. Of course. I mean, and that's actually played into the hands of other parties. It's like in the UK at the moment. Now that there's a party called Reform UK starting to make a little bit of noise and be an irritation, because it takes votes away from the Tory party, as if they can afford that. So, yeah, it's good. Yep. What's the other good thing about it, long term, Skulk, is that there's a more vibrant political scene in South Africa, instead of the same old, I'm voting ANC because my parents and grandparents were involved in the struggle, which is a great, 30 years ago, this was a great reason to vote for the ANC. 30 years on, not a great reason.
Yeah, I think if there was sort of, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. There was a success rate. If we didn't have things like load shedding, infrastructure worked, job creation was successful, I think we would have had a different scenario. But just like you said, the younger, newer generations of Africa say, well, come on. I mean, this is not going to fly anymore. We want jobs. We want to, you know, have our own families one day and see our children flourish within this beautiful country, South Africa. Ach, I don't know. I'm in your camp. I'm a closet bull. I'm not so closet. I'm a raging bull. And sometimes, you know, when you got this elastoplast, you've got this, but sometimes you just need to rip the Band-Aid off. And I think, you know, what we've seen now is we're getting closer to, you know, a party that's not going to have a majority. It's time to rip off the Band-Aid and just let's deal with it now.
Yes, indeed. Instead of that slow pain of peeling it off very slowly, especially when there's hairs under there. And this is all metaphorically speaking, of course. Scout, let's have a look at the Rand. It's pushing 19 to the US dollar, having been close to pushing 18 on the downside just a couple of weeks ago. So that's a little bit disturbing, especially when you see, for example, the euro dollar close to 109, which means the euro is, in the last 36 hours anyway, has been stronger against the dollar. So you've got a weaker dollar and a weaker Rand. So this is independent Rand weakness from the people that are still uncertain about what's going to come in the next 10 days or so and what the new government will look like. Yeah, and we can understand their pessimism, can't we?
Yeah, no. I think we've had, you know, a few emerging countries go through election in the past few days. I mean, we've seen what happened to the Indian market when their results came out. We saw Mexico. Oh boy. I mean, look at how their market literally yesterday had one of the worst. That was yesterday or 2 days ago. But anyway, one of the worst days in history. And the Mexican peso just dropped like a rock. Yeah, South Africa, we're now in limbo, and we, you know, I'm sort of, you know, a refresher now. You know, this is my new term. I'm a refresher.
What does that mean?
Because I sit on these social medias, this X or, you know, LinkedIn, and I just keep on pressing refresh to see, you know, no new news. Nope, let's just press refresh again. I think this is the toughest part currently, and that's why we're seeing the Rand reacting like it's currently doing. You know, the moment, you know, and his immediate outlet will come out and say, well, this party and that party are looking to form a coalition, and you know, Mr. Market seems to like it. The Rand improves, the market improves. Next moment, it's two other, you know, probabilities, and we see inverse. I think we should just switch off our computers now.
Okay, well, do that after the podcast, otherwise you leave me stranded. But, Skalk, I mean, Mexico and India are great examples of what you've just been talking about. Going into the Mexican election, there was great optimism that they'd have their first woman leader, and the market went up nicely. The peso was nice and stable. And then as soon as it came out that this woman was in and she's going to have more socialist-leaning tendencies, in other words, spending rather than creating a vibrant economy. It's all very general, of course, and it's nonsense. But as you say, the market got smashed. The more interesting one, I think, is India. 642 million people voted in this election. It took 7 weeks and 1 million ballot boxes to get that through. And then they counted it very quickly because it's all electronic. But they thought Modi was going to win with a landslide. He got 303 seats last time. This time, he's 50 or 60 lower than that. And as soon as that became apparent, goodness me, that Bombay market got stuffed.
Yeah. Now that's, but I mean, you mentioned two things in there. How the market got stuffed, and that we saw. I mean, and then, you know, 600 something million people voting. And that's the one thing that I found disappointing about our election is the turnout, the voter turnout. I mean, I think 27 odd million people registered, which is still, you know, still on the you know, low side compared to the, you know, just because people that are eligible to vote in South Africa, and then a turnout of 58%. I mean, that is really, really, really disappointing and really low. So, I mean, yeah, you can at least commend India for the voted turnout. But yeah, I think that's sort of a what can happen. I think, you know, that's what I told my team this morning, and I said, well, you know, what do we tell clients? Well, I said, we currently just tell your clients, we don't know. You can't really forecast anything, because as it stands, if it's good news, you can expect, you know, quite a positive, in an outcome, both on markets and on the currency. And that positive outcome is not necessarily positive. That's just Mr. Markets, you know, expectation. If Mr. Market expected something else and we see some other outcome, hey, don't be surprised if we see a drop similar to what we've seen in Mexico and India, which will be disappointing. But just know that we're finding ourselves at a very, very difficult position. And I think it was Warren Buffett that made that coined the phrase, say, when in doubt, do nothing at all.
That's exactly. So that's been my motto with every single aspect of my life, actually, never mind investing. Scout, let's have a look at a couple of results that came out on the Stock Exchange News Service of the JSE Securities Exchange today. And they're both financial services companies.
Yeah.
One is Signia, one is 91. Signia just, I think I can remember when it first listed, I think it went up to 19.20. Then it came back, Rand per share, that is. Then it came back to below 10. And now here we are again, just above 20 Rand a share, isn't it?
Yeah, it's close at 2050 today, 1.44% down. But both of the asset managers that you're referring to, 91 and Signia, not a positive day. I mean, markets, well, they definitely seriously underperformed markets. But yes. In general, remember also financials were also under pressure. But that said, 91 already brought out their trading statement on the 16th of April, and they clearly guided that the assets under management, you know, both declined and they actually physically had outflows.
9.4 billion, I think it was, which is strange because let's say that things were relatively square, you know, some people getting in, other people getting out for whatever reasons. But the markets are at record highs. The FTSE, I mean, they're based in London and Cape Town, of course, but London, their head office there. The S&P 500, very close to all-time record highs. And normally you would expect that to be reflected in the performance of the results and therefore the share price. But not this one. I don't know why that is, because 91 has always been the poster company of the asset management business.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to add something. Although you mentioned a few things, I mean, they're company based in the UK. I mean, assets under management, you know, the largest, you know, compared to other managers in South Africa. But I mean, you should still add another two words, you know, after that. It's South Africa. It's still seen as a South African asset management company. So I got a theory, and not just a theory, just sort of, you know, talking to some of the fund managers recently, and something stood out, you know, in their presentation where they said, well, it was difficult because we had Regulation 28 that changed, where it went from 30% offshore to 45%. And most of these companies, a lot of these companies that sold out of South African assets, which 91 was managing, took it abroad, but didn't give it to 91 to manage abroad. They found managers which they deem to be foreign fund managers. So I think therein lies their challenge, and I think a challenge that you know, Hendrik and co. Definitely will take up. I mean, they've got a great team. I mean, really, really. I think 91 has got one of the best, you know, management teams and fund management teams.
Yes, and the other thing is, before you go on, otherwise I forget myself, is that they managed to retain staff. I noticed the staff across the board owns nearly 31% of the company. They incentivize you to stay. I mean, I've been speaking to 91 and before Investec Asset Management, the previous iteration of the company, and the same people are there after 12 years or so. They're still there. I mean, look at John Bickard. I used to speak to him ages ago. He's in New York now, but he's still a 91 man. And there's several other examples of that. So staff retention, as opposed to what was happening in the 80s and 90s in your business, they're a rock out there. They're a rock in a choppy sea.
Mm. And got a solid track record. I mean, track record in terms of fund performances. So, but again, I think that the challenge to get back is to show the world that they're not a South African fund management company managing international assets. They are now a international fund management team that can compete with the best of the best. And if they overcome this, I mean, this company will fly. I still like the company, not invested, so I can actually say this wholeheartedly. I love the company. I think it's a great company. I think still not out of the woods yet. I think they're still very much, you know, find themselves in a difficult market, but something I will be monitoring. So in short, I mean, like I mentioned, share price down 3.3%. Signia, similar story, not similar story to 91, but similar story in terms of that their asset management did grow, yeah. Which is sort of expected. South African passive market or ETF market, relative to the rest of the world, you know, the ETFs versus mutual funds on in South Africa, ETF versus unit trust is still fairly low. So there's still quite a big market for Signia. But I mean, I think they, you know, grew their asset under management by 9.1%, $341 billion under management. I think market just expected a little bit more. I think they thought they're going to grow a little bit more.
You can't sell Signia, of course, otherwise Magda Vizichka will come and get you. And she's brilliant, but she's terrifying. But no, seriously.
Lindsay, I want to tell this story on air.
Go on.
I don't know if you recall. You know, your previous life, you had another show.
Yeah,
which you ran, you're still at it there in the Artscape Theatre, and I still remember you wanted to go you wanted to go to the Netherlands for a week. Hold on, you asked me to run your show for a week, and I think that first day you got me in and said, "Well, tonight I need you to interview Magda," but you said, "Stop it, Scott. Just whatever you do." Do not mispronounce her surname. Whatever you do. And I think you told me that about three times. And as an Afrikaans speaking person, I mean, my English are, you know, not always, you know, pure at best. I mean, so Polish wise, I'm gonna struggle. I sat there before that interview started, Lindsay, I was Vavrishka. I think about 100 times. Meeting went well, but every time you mentioned that name, I still recall you that day.
So you said Vavrishka when it's actually Magda Vizichka. Is that – were you right or am I wrong? What is that?
I don't know. I'm not interviewing tonight, so I think I'm gonna take a hall pass. But I always, when I see or hear a name, I recall, you know, you sort of training me. Just do not mispronounce it.
Anyway, I tell you what, there's a story that I can't tell now because it's too personal. And
You'll tell me afterwards.
It's unnecessary, yeah. But anyway, we've given her enough airtime. She gets more than enough airtime anyway off her own back.
No, so. brilliant. Brilliant businesswoman.
Superb.
I mean, I've got the world of respect. I mean, she's not scared calling a spade a shovel. I mean, and look at the success. Signia, great company. To grow your assets 9.1%, I would like to see. I haven't looked, you know, drilled through the actual results. I know a lot of the investments are offshore type of investments, your typical S&P 500, those type of investments, and we know that has done really, really well. So it'd be interesting to see what the actual inflows was, you know, part of that asset under management growth of 9.1%.
Very good. Okay, let's get to the markets now because it's an interesting move since we last spoke. The Rand in particular, 18.94 against the US dollar. British pound Rand is 24.18, and the Euro Rand is also under pressure. The Rand, that is, 20.58. The Euro has gained 1.2% against the South African currency. Okay, let's have a look at gold. I thought gold would be a bit higher. It's not bad, though. I mean, it's up $27 on the day. 23.52, which is, as I say, 27 up or 1.1%. Platinum, just below 1,000, up $7 on the day. And palladium, 9.39, let's call it, up $28 per ounce.
Let's just stop there for a second.
Go
because you mentioned gold up. Platinum up, palladium up. I mean, usually when you give us this type of feedback on a day like today, you would immediately tend to think, well, we will see a South African rand stronger.
Yes.
I mean, this is how it works. Yeah, to see a currency down, you know, 1.3, 1.5%, you know, on the day, that's worrying. That's sort of disturbing. And, you know, there's definitely politics rather than investments.
Yeah, this is independent rand weakness, all to do with the domestic situation and the political uncertainty, because if the dollar's weak, like it is, the rand should be strong. If commodities are strong, then the rand should be strong as well. And it's ignored both of those fundamentals. They'll come back in line, but not today. Brent crude oil is a big story. The Brent crude oil price is $77.42, which is down very slightly, but it's taken a bit of a pasting over the last few trading days. West Texas crude, $73.08 per barrel, which is down a quarter. What else have we got here? Not very much going on. Pretty quiet day, but it has been interesting. The US 10-year is very interesting as well. We'll come to inflation in the States in a moment. 4.29%, which is about a 4.5 basis point yield fall, which is obviously good for the bond market, inverse relationship, of course. The South African 10-year bond yield, 10.91%, and that is 33 basis points higher, pushing that 11, which has been through a couple of times in the last year, but never stayed there. I wonder if this time those bond traders are on tenterhooks waiting for the announcement on the coalition. I'm sure they are. S&P 500, 53.21, that's okay, it's up a third of a percent. And we'll come to the reasons for that in a second. What else? Bitcoin. Do people want that still? Oh, it's above 70,000. In fact, it's nearly 71,000. It's up 71,457, up 2.6%. I did a refresh, just like you do. Right. The reason that the S&P is quite strong is because the latest data from the United States of America was fairly cool. In other words, the economy not racing away, which has been a fear of the market because it would scupper interest rate falling expectations. And also, we've got another couple of big ones coming out. We've got jobs data coming out. I think there's one piece of data that's come out already, Scott. Have you got that to hand?
Yeah. The ADP private payrolls. They expected this week another 173,000 jobs to be created. Only 152,000 actually, adding only 152,000 jobs during the month. So I said week, but sorry, I meant a month. And that is typically, again, your bad news is good news that you mentioned. S&P 500 looking good. I mean, suddenly the currency a little bit under pressure because people now say, well, maybe we'll see interest rates, you know, cuts being moved forward. Maybe we'll see it in the third quarter.
Well, let's hope so. And the oil price is helping that as well. So it's all good. I mean, it's not racing away, but it's nice and steady. Of course, it won't race away until the jobs data, more jobs data on Friday from the States, the monthly non-farm payrolls number. So watch out for that one, Scout. Let's have a look at the JC. Give me some of your shares that have caught your eye today, upside and downside, when I get my screen going. What have you seen?
I'm going to start off with most probably the one that's attracted the most conversation on social media over the past, you know, I want to say just week, maybe 2-3 weeks, month. Sasol. I mean, not a comeback. I mean, a decline in the share price, you know, of late. I mean, I think 30 rand per share ago, I thought, wow, you know, at 150 rand. This company is looking fantastic. It's a company that's trading at a forward P, I think two or three times multiple. It is just, I mean, being hammered. And I made the joke this morning, you know, back then, I think the question was asked, but the oil price is trading closer to $90 per barrel again. You know, most of the economists are saying, well, don't be surprised if we see, you know, $100 per barrel soon. And then, a lot of people quickly jump in and say, "Well, Sasol is not an oil producer anymore. They actually quite, you know, their earnings is quite not a lot sensitive towards the oil price at all." Well, yesterday when it got hammered again, I think on one stage I saw it at 110 rand. You know, people say, "Well, but just watch the oil price. That's why it's declining again. Damned if you do, damned if you don't." But today, Sasol, I had to refresh. Yeah, here we go again. Refresher. I had to refresh twice to see. Yep, Sasol's actually positive 2% today in the green, 118 Rand 25.
What was the high on that thing? About 450, wasn't it? 450 Rand a share.
I think it was over 500 Rand. I recall being over 500 Rand on one stage. I'll look while we chat about something else. But and the other one is also a company I brought out results, and not because of the results.
Bukile.
You know, yeah, Yeah. I mean, we've had this conversation about property stocks quite a few times. And Vukile also very nice retail property portfolio. I mean, we had this conversation, I think, about a month ago where we talked about resilient Vukiles, and I would say in the same camp where people said, no, we're never going to go back to shops again. We're in COVID. People will now just order online. Man, I don't know when last you've been in a shopping center, but people are back fitting their clothes, buying their clothes. Not necessarily retail companies not looking good, but at least the consumer is back shopping in actually shops. And that's good. I mean, what's his name? Vukile actually mentioned in the results today, they actually said, well, things are really looking good. The rents actually picked up again. Occupancy rates are high. As vacancies are looking good. Financially, the company is healthy. I mean, they're sitting with 5.3 billion rand, you know, in the bank and fairly low debt. So more and more of these property companies are you know, showing, well, things are actually not that bad, yet these prices are trading at unbelievable discounts to NAVs, you know, discounts that we've seen in 2001 last. And that's why we've seen, you know, share price today after the results came out over 4% up.
Yeah, I'll just must refresh my screen again because I've got 3.6% here on mine. But I defer to your better screens. And yeah, you're quite right.
4.1%.
4.1%. There we go. I've got Karoo up 7%. Montauk Renewables, that's always either up or down. It's like a roller coaster ride, that thing. 6.9%, not being disrespectful, but yeah, you are volatile market in renewables. Montauk, rather. Anglo American Platinum, 3.8% up. All of these ones I've just mentioned up on the day. And on the downside, we've got Equitas down 4.2%, 91 Limited down 3.4%, First Rand, the financial services giant, 3.3% weaker, 91 PLC, 3.3% lower, and Discovery. Yeah, financials not doing well, 3.25% weaker, Skulk. So there we go. Give us some closing JSE indices, if you would.
We'll do so. But I'm going to answer you. I mean,
the Sasol thing.
September 2018. Sasol was trading well. I'm going to say well over 570 rand.
Right.
So yeah. Anyways, it did decline. I mean, we know that the whole Lake Charles story there in the 2019-2020. We know that it retraced, and we also know COVID had its effect. But if you turn the clock back 2 years ago, exactly 2 years ago, share price closed at 430 rand.
This has been a great destroyer of wealth because pension funds and big fund managers, because it's a relatively big company, not in global terms, but in South African terms, it's a giant. It's very widely held. This must be when you look at your list of shares and performances at the end of every month, you must think, goodness me, this Sasol thing, it's undone all my good work in this particular stock, whichever it is. It must rankle a bit with fund managers.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I don't know who the largest shareholder is, but this must be one of those shares that is definitely wildly, you know, widely held by most fund managers in South Africa. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's one of the largest holdings in the PICI as well. But be that as it may, I mean, today was a bit of a winner. But you asked me about the markets.
Yes, please.
Markets not moving at all. 3.6 points, not percent. 3.6 points down on the JSE All Share today. Closed at 76,829 points. Pretty much unchanged for the day. Resources, they had a great day. 1.8% up, while financials up 0.4%. As you mentioned, financials having a horrible, horrible day, 1.9% in the red. And, you know, as I mentioned, SA Property Companies, they kept themselves in the green today, up 66 basis points. When I look at the value traded on the market, not a bad day, over 20 billion. I mean, this is now the fifth trading day in a row where we're over 20 billion.
Very good.
So 20.7 billion value traded for today.
Skulk, thanks very much for your analysis as always. Skulk Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak Division in Cape Town. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organisation, employer or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.